Our reading today is from Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. And in the sixth month, is this on? No? Barely? How about now? In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city called Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. And he was of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled by this saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." The angel said, "Do not be afraid. Where was I? Oh. For you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and you will call him the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever, and his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I'm a virgin?" If you have your Bibles, pop them open to Luke chapter 1. You there? Okay, Luke 1, and we're going to be in verse 26, and we're going to have some fun with this. Am I good? Oh, I didn't take the other one off. Okay, so this time of year, it's all about angels, right? Just think, even you don't have to go to church to see them. Look at the top of a Christmas tree, there's often a angel. And we all know that every time a bell rings, it's all about angels this time of year. Now, this gets really interesting because the word angel in Greek is angelos. Everybody say that. Angelos. You see how you get from angelos to angel pretty easily? Angelos means messenger. If you're a note taker, jot that down. Angelos means messenger. It's a much broader term than the way we normally think of it. So here in Luke, you have in the sixth month the angel, and it gives him a name, Gabriel. Now we know this is a heavenly angel because Gabriel shows up all the way back in Daniel. And I just, on your sheet, I gave you all kinds of references. I encourage you, just dig in and look this up yourself and see how this line flows through the entire narrative. Gabriel shows up, and all the way back in Daniel, the main thing that Gabriel did was brought a message. You've only got one other angel named in the Bible that's a heavenly angel, and that's Michael. And go ahead and click. We got Gabriel. There's some references. We got Michael. Michael shows up in Daniel. Michael shows up in Jude. Michael shows up in Revelation. But the primary thing that Michael did was deliver messages. Now, here's where it gets kind of a little bit muddy. Who's heard of John the Baptist? Okay, so John the Baptist, if you flip over to any of those verses, Matthew 11:10, Mark 1:2, Luke 7:27. Now, the ESV translates it a little bit differently. The ESV translates it as messenger. But the word in Greek is angelos. It said John the Baptist was an angelos. So if you're going to translate the same the whole time, you'd say John the Baptist was an angel. Like that's how deep this is. In Revelation, it actually goes this far. That in Revelation, it says Jesus is an angelos. Now, I don't want to minimize heavenly angels, but I want to go, when the word angel, when the word angelos shows up, it's a wider swath than we normally think. And here's the key takeaway. Write this one down. If you're a note taker and normally write stuff down, circle this one. The point of all of this is it's never about the messenger. It's about the message. Now, the one exception, of course, is when you have the messenger and the message in one in Jesus, but hopefully you can connect those dots yourself. Right. So stop and think about it. Have you ever known anybody that wears a little white tab collar like mine that sometimes is a messenger, but they're not bringing a message? Have you ever heard somebody that they should be doing the thing, and they're dropping the ball? It's because it's not about the messenger, it's about the message. Have any of you ever heard the message from somebody that you least expected? If I can just get honest, this last week's been a rough week for the Graff household. Adeline got transferred hospitals and is down in Nashville, and things went, they went sideways. The transfer did not go well. We had all kinds of problems. Things still aren't good. Your prayers are appreciated. But something happened this trip that's never happened before. One of the physicians, and if you know my story, I've been dealing with this for what we've been in and out of hospitals for more than a decade. One of the doctors, out of nowhere after listening well to all of her story, just goes, "Hey, I don't do this with patients, but can I pray for you?" And he was an angel. He brought the message. He realized that science and medicine can only do so much, and that there's something supernatural. And when he prayed in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the message was received. It's about the message. And so we have to ask the question, what's the message that was brought to Mary? Now, if you're reading along, I want to just read it in the English so that everybody gets this. We're in verse 26. And he came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Does that sound weird? I know maybe you've heard this. I mean, this is on Charlie Brown Christmas, but that seems like a weird reaction. To hear, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you," and to freak out about it. Let's unpack it. The language here, that first word, greetings. The word is Cairo. Everybody say Cairo. Now, if you've done, this isn't kairos, this isn't moment or occasion, this is Cairo. It's translated, so here it's translated greeting. In the Bible, 42 times this word is translated rejoice. 14 times it's translated be glad. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not quite sure if I know the difference between rejoice and be glad. So I'm just going to clump those together. Joy, I'd say that falls under that same, right? Joy, rejoice, you hear there's something there. And then you've got this other thing where nine times out of 42 plus 14 plus 6, nine times it's hail, which means sup, or greeting, which is a less formal sup. Okay, so what's going on here? What this means is that this greeting, this rejoice, there become these ways that we greet each other that then end up getting translated just as greeting. Let me give you an example. In Hebrew, if you go to Israel, they will greet you shalom. If it's Sabbath, they will say, Shabbat Shalom. But Shalom, if you look in certain places, they say it's great, it's translated as hello. But the word really means peace. And so what happens is there's this underlying thing in a culture where our greetings, when it's a greeting, it tells us something about the culture that in Israel they want that message of peace. That they know there's a tension between God and man and they're longing for peace. Let me give you another one closer to home. If you were telling a foreigner what America's colloquialism for greeting was, what would you tell them? How are you? Fascinating that how are you actually means hello. This can be very, very confusing because if you actually answer the literal thing, the lady at Target gets really overwhelmed really quickly. But yet in our culture, there's still this thing where we go, we want to be a culture that cares how other people are doing. And so when the angel comes to Mary, he uses the common greeting, rejoice! But then he unpacks it. And the angel says, rejoice because you're highly favored. Go ahead and click. I think that's the next one. You can see that. Which begs the question, why are you highly favored? And the answer that he gives is because the Lord is with you. Because the Lord is with you. This is often translated blessed. If you read the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says it, blessed are you, blessed are you. Blessed means the Lord is with you. Actually, blessed doesn't even mean the Lord is with you. To be blessed by the Lord means the Lord is with you. Bless just means, hey, I'm in this with you. Do any of you have those things that you know are in it with you, period? Even if you try to shake them, you can't. This week, let me give you just an example. We went down to Tennessee. I had to take care of some stuff. I had to take care of Adeline. I walk into the license bureau to get a new driver's license, which is what you do when you're in the process of moving. And you give them stuff. You give them social security card and a blood sample and whatever else they ask for. And you give them your old ID. And my ID says Indiana. And the woman behind the desk goes, what are the colors of the sports teams there? Is that not the strangest question? And I go, well, IU is red and white, and Purdue is gold and black. And instantly, I'm brought back to all of you and the tension between these two. It's with me no matter where I go. And I can't make this up. The woman behind the counter goes, oh, IU, red and white. Do you want an umbrella? Blessed. Indiana is with me. Now, before people start writing letters, and so I go to the hospital, I walk in, the nurse is in taking some vitals from Trish, and I tell Trish this story, and I pull out the umbrella because I knew that she wouldn't believe me unless I pulled it out, and the nurse stops, cold stops, and goes, did you take it? I'm like, well, yeah, it's right. She goes, then I'm not treating you anymore, and points. And she is in a Purdue hoodie. Blessed. Indiana is with me. The tension between Indiana and Purdue will follow me every day of my life. See, that's what the angel is saying is, Mary, you're blessed by God. God is with you. So let's break down just the message. Rejoice! You're highly favored because God is with you. And Mary has the reaction of, I shouldn't be blessed. Why did you pick me? Why am I highly favored? Why am I blessed? See, what Mary did, I'm becoming more and more convinced that when we do this law gospel thing, that we don't need to preach the law as much as we think we do, because most people know how much they've messed up. They know how broken they are. We know how frail we are. We know the mistakes we've made. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking back over my years at Promise, and I saw these pictures that they're doing for the 25th anniversary, and man, back then, my hair was so good. And when I look in the mirror, the eyes don't quite have the same lines that they did. I'm amazed that I do exactly what Mary does. I go, man, I was better then, I'll be better then. If you don't believe I do this, anybody get a family Thanksgiving picture? No? We always would. I'm amazed every Thanksgiving picture, I judge the quality of the photo based on how I look in it. I'm hoping that laughter is one that you do the same thing. It's a bad picture if I don't look good. See, that's what Mary is doing. She's going, I don't deserve to have God with me. See, that's the message. Don't miss it, that's the message of Christmas. That you are highly favored. Why? Because God blessed you. Verse 29, you know she's not good enough. Verse 30, it says this word, kairos. It translates here as favor, but 130 times it's translated grace. The response to how can this be, I'm not worthy, is grace. It's undeserved, unmerited, free gift. I'm a big James 1:22 guy. I'm a big, hey, how do you take what God's doing and put it into action? I'm a big calling guy. What's God calling you to do and how are you living into it? Make no mistake, that's the response. But it starts with grace. With God coming to you and saying, I love you exactly where you are. I left heaven and came to earth to die for you exactly where you are. The calling isn't something that you do once I get to get better, once I get my act together, once I get... No, the calling starts with grace. And it moves on from there into grace upon grace upon grace. Know this Christmas season that you are loved by the Creator of the world, that you are forgiven, and that through Jesus, we have all hope. Let's pray. God, show us your grace. Show us your mercy. Sometimes we're right in the midst of muck and mire and we can't see any of it. God, sometimes we look at ourselves and we go, I've messed up one too many times. God, my beliefs, I have too many doubts, I got too many questions, I got too much anger, I got too much addiction, I got too much, and you say, yeah, but I love you right where you are, and I picked you. God, make that message real yet again today. God, bring healing that only you can bring. God, we lift up baby Bennett, who has heart issues. Joe Messman and the complications following surgery. We continue to lift Gail up to you. And we thank you that they found 100% match for this bone marrow transplant. Lord, please let it go well. God, we pray for Jolene and her many broken bones. We lift Aaron up to you, who's struggling physically and emotionally. God, bring Adeline what she needs. God, continue to shape us and mold us. And Lord, hear us even as we pray the perfect prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We now prepare our hearts and our minds to receive the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke